Good. Nice to be with you this evening. And I'd just like to read a number of different verses. And the first one's in John's Gospel in chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. And what I'd like to look at this evening is a number of different ways in which the Lord Jesus describes us as believers in a very, very personal and meaningful way. The message that I have this evening, I would say, is 95% original. The thought from it did come from a message I had listened to in St. Lucia, actually, by our brother Roland Pickering that was here a number of years ago for gospel meetings. And he had taken up a number of these in a meeting, and I don't remember much of what he said other than the fact that I appreciated it and was impressed by it. And I'm just trying to take what I remember from that meeting, just the skeleton, and have tried to put my own meat on those bones. So John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we'll read from verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So as I've mentioned this evening, I'd just like to look at a number of different references that the Lord Jesus Christ makes to each one of us as believers. Often we think of the possessions that we have in Christ, all of the blessings and all of the benefits that we've come into because of knowing Christ as Savior. But do we consider the possessions, what Christ has, what he possesses, and what he calls his own? So I'd just like to look very quickly this evening at eight different references that the Lord Jesus makes to his own. And the first one, of course, here in John's Gospel, chapter 10, is my sheep. Here, the thought really is the thought of salvation. We brought into the family of God, a sheep of his pasture, and he calls us my sheep. What a privilege to be saved. What a privilege to know Christ as Savior. In the busyness of the day, have we found a moment to be able to thank God for ever sending his Son and for his salvation. We belong to him, his possession, never to be lost, never to be separated from him. He calls us his sheep, my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Let's flip over if you want, or if you want, it's fine. Otherwise, I'll just read the verses for you. John's Gospel in chapter 20. For another reference, John's Gospel chapter 20 and verse number 15. Here is not the reference to my sheep, but it's the idea or the thought of my brethren. John chapter 20, verse number 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. The reference here, obviously, is my brethren, and the thought in relation to my brethren is that thought of resurrection. That's the context, isn't it? The Lord is risen. What a bright future. What a bright future all of those disciples had. And yet they had not come into the blessing, or they hadn't come into the benefit, the realization of it. And Mary stands here weeping, and she doesn't realize or doesn't understand who the person is that is before her. And he reveals himself unto her just by saying her name. How often is it that the Lord, in his tenderness and in his graciousness, has in resurrection power, in resurrection glory, has revealed himself to us by just simply saying our name. The Lord says, go and tell my brethren. The message of hope, and it's a message of reassurance. And isn't that what we need? Isn't that what I need this evening? As I was preparing for this meeting, I was asking myself, what do I understand I'm speaking, but what do I want to take away from this meeting? What do I want to be able to take home and to be able to appreciate? And for me, what I hope this message is, what I hope it is for myself, is a message of hope and a message of reassurance. That's what I need. And possibly if each one of us were honest, that's what each one of us need. We need a message of hope, and we need a message of reassurance. Where is this going to be found? Well, it's going to be found the very same place that Mary found it. And that is only going to be found through the words of the Lord. I ask myself, and then in turn, I ask you, do I recognize his voice? Are we listening to him? And if we're listening to him, do we obey his commands? So we come back to the disciples. And this message was to those disciples that had followed him. And yet these disciples are confused by the events of Calvary. They don't understand. They maybe, we would say, had the pieces of the puzzle, but they weren't able to piece them together. Now, while it's true that we live tonight on resurrection ground and live in the good of it, it is true that we are often like these disciples. We're confused. Sometimes we're hurt, disappointed, disillusioned by the events of life. And yet, in these circumstances, and at these times in life, at our lowest points, the Lord comes in and he refers to us as my brethren. Let's go over to back a couple of pages to John's Gospel in chapter 15. John 15 and verse number 8. John 15 and verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So obviously, to be a disciple is to be a follower. And the thought of being a follower or a disciple is the idea of continuance. It's the idea of steadfastness, the idea of continuation. What a challenge to our hearts. So in these three verses that I've read, verses 8, 9, and 10 of John chapter 15, we read that a disciple is going to be marked by three different things, three different characteristics. In verse number 8, discipleship, or the disciple, is going to be marked by fruit bearing. That's verse 8. In verse number 9, the disciple is going to display that measure of continuing in his love. And in verse number 10, that disciple is going to be marked by obedience. So the Lord Jesus Christ references us and describes us, those that continue in his love, those that bear fruit, those that keep his commandments. He refers to them, to us, I trust, as my disciples. Let's go back a couple of pages to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse number 25. John 12, verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, each one of us can think back to different Old Testament saints that the Lord referred to as my servant. We could think of, in Numbers, my servant Moses. We could think of my servant Job. And that there's something very personal about this, isn't there? My servant. Something very personal about the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord of creation. And he's referring to an individual, one of his creation, and he's referring to them as my servant. What a privilege to be the servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what about ourselves? Verse 26 tells us that if any man serve me, let him follow me. It's very simple and straightforward, isn't it? If any man serve me, let him follow me. If we say that we are serving him, then obviously we need to be following him and we need to be marked by obedience. We look at the second part of that verse, verse 26. And again, a very simple and yet important statement. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If we're going to be a servant, we're simply going to need to be where the master is. And if we were to read a couple of verses down, verses 27 and verse 28, we'll read of that perfect servant, the Lord Jesus. And I think even though time is flying by, we'll take the time to read it. Tremendous verses. The servant character, the consecrated servant character of Christ. Verse 27, chapter 12. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. That perfect servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we know what it is. May we know what it is to be marked by obedience, to be able to be marked by being where the master is, and to have that commendation from Christ, to be referred to as by him of us as my servant. Back to John chapter 15, a couple of pages. I know we're flipping back and forth quite a bit. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Verse 14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Still able to hear? So far, so good. Very good. Ye are my friends. What true affection from the heart of the Lord Jesus. Ye are my friends. To be a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. So verse 13 tells us that there is no greater love than a man laid down his life for his friends. We think of the Savior, and has often been illustrated often in the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ did not lay down his life for us when we were friends of his. We were enemies against God, enemies against Christ. And yet he laid down his life for us. How thankful we are tonight for that love and affection of the Savior. And in light of that, verse 14, that in light of what we have seen in verse 13, verse 14, the end of it, would encourage us that we should do whatsoever he commands of us. Sixth of the eight that I've looked at would be the reference to my flock. And when we think of my flock, it's the idea now of provision and protection. With my friends, it was the idea of affection. With the idea of my flock, it's the idea of provision and protection. If we were to look at a negative Old Testament example, we would hear the Lord referring to my flock. And even though those people in that Old Testament day were his flock, they lacked provision and they lacked protection due to tragic failure and neglect. How sad, how terribly sad to read through those verses. A lack of provision and a lack of protection for God's flock. But does the Lord leave those Old Testament people in that situation? No, he doesn't. The compassionate Lord steps in. And what does he say that he will do for his flock, for my flock? He says, I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they lack anything, saith the Lord. What goodness, goodness of God in provision as well as protection. I found it interesting. I was looking at the term my flock, and then I had thought of the New Testament, a positive New Testament exhortation in relation to the flock. And it's the flock of God. And it's mentioned two times, in two different verses, both in Acts as well as in First Peter. So we look at the words the flock, and really here it is the idea of a New Testament assembly that's in view. So twice, two references in Acts, two references in First Peter. And the two verses in Acts tell us of the provision and protection that is required. And in First Peter, it's the very same, the provision and the protection that is required. The Lord refers to his people as my flock. And we should be assured tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ desires that we would have his provision and that we would have his protection. Just have a few minutes left. We'll try to finish the last two. Matthew chapter 16. I'll just refer to them and read the verses for you. You don't need to turn to them, so we can try to finish on time. It's the term my church. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So here we have another entity that we are actually a part of, that the Lord calls his own. He refers to my church. In the previous example of the flock, at least in the New Testament example, it's the local aspect that is in view. But here it is a much broader aspect of the church that is in view. And how thankful each one of us are this evening to be part of the church, which is his body, that he has purchased. His bride has been purchased by precious blood, his precious blood at Calvary. And what an incredible future each one of us have. Both of the bride and the bridegroom, what an incredible future awaits the bride of Christ, those that have been of us that have been purchased by his precious blood. He refers to my church. Let's come back to the verse there in the chapter 6, Matthew 16. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I've simply enjoyed the verse this way. I will, the thought of confirmation. Absolute certainty. Nothing, absolutely nothing is going to thwart the plans and the purposes of Christ in relation to his church, my church. He says, I will build my church. And here's not so much the thought of confirmation, but it's the thought of construction. And what a construction it is. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And here we have the thought, not of confirmation, not of construction, but of preservation. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Finally, the eighth reference of how the Lord Jesus refers to his own and to his own people. If we were to read in Psalm 50 and verse 5, he refers to my saints. I really appreciated this one. My saints, gather my saints together unto me to be called saints. When I think of the word saint or saints, I'm thinking now of the word position, where we are positionally in him. And what does the Lord want from us that are called saints, that he calls his saints? He wants us to gather together unto him. Now, I know that we can't take the words, the subject out of that little phrase, gather my saints unto me, but because the saints are the subject, they're the ones that are gathering. But let's just for a moment take the words my saints out of Psalm 50 and verse 5, and I'll read it to you this way. So it would read, gather my saints together unto me. We'll take out the words, my saints. What are we left with? gather together unto me. This is the Lord's desire for each one of us. Gather together unto me. When we think of the words unto me, I think of the word association. It is unto him. When I think of the word gather together unto me, I think of the word attraction. It's unto him. Gather together unto me. What a privilege it is for you and I as believers, those that the Lord Jesus Christ refers to as my saints. What a privilege it is for each one of us. I know that in a modified format now, I understand, but we look forward to that day when we'll be able to gather together in person. Gather my saints together, the Lord says, unto me. I see that my time is gone. So I trust that these few and hurried thoughts have been an encouragement to you. What the Lord refers to us as, my sheep, my brethren, my disciples, my servant, my friends, my flock, my church, and my saints. We trust that God will bless these few thoughts to us, and we'll just close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy goodness to us today and for the Lord Jesus Christ most of all. We thank thee for the blessings of the day. We thank thee for being with us. We thank thee for preserving us while we've worked and while others have studied. We thank thee for a measure of health and strength that thou hast afforded to us. We again pray for the many, many on that prayer list that are not well, many that are suffering physically, and Father, we pray for them. We think of the difficulty that some could be having in getting the medical treatment that they need because of the strain that is on the medical system. And Father, we just pray for all such. We pray that these individuals that would get the medical care that they need. Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the nearness that we have to thee through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the responsibility of being associated with him. And Father, we pray that each one of us may know what it is to be marked by doers of the word and be marked by ones that are obedient. Father, we thank thee for the time that we spend together and thank thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.